This is All Things Psychic, a weekly podcast with two psychic mediums where we answer your questions and share our experiences about all things psychic. Send your questions to us at allthingspsychicpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at allthingspsychicofficial.
Yay! Hey everyone!
Hey!
Welcome to another episode of All Things Psychic. Today we're going to do a first part of three episodes on mediumship. And we're going to get into a little bit of what is mediumship, how is that different than channeling, What does an appointment look like if you're having an appointment with a medium? And Angelina and I are going to speak a little bit about how we each conduct readings. And we're going to get into a little bit of the ethics and moral code of doing some readings. And also start preparing you to do readings for yourself and or others.
Yep.
So
get welcome. Ready.
So I'm going to start a little bit with exactly what is mediumship. And, you know, when I explain it to people, I usually say it's about obtaining information from the spirits of those who have died and passed on. And, you know, we did this, we recorded this session before, and I asked Angelina if it'd be okay if we did a re-recording, because I had so many different names, you know, for like, is it, you know, people that have passed on? Is it departed loved ones? The dead? Yeah.
I'm like, so, but they're alive. Otherwise we wouldn't talk to them.
So yeah. Those that have died and are wanting to share some information with you, that is kind of, for me, like that's what mediumship is all about. Mm-hmm. Being a channel, being just the go-between from the spirit to the person that I want to give the information from. Mm-hmm. And you know, the way I receive the information is, you know, it's clairvoyance, clairaudience. All the clairs, are a part of that. And the way that that's different than channeling is really bringing the voice and the teachings of an entity, an angel, or a guide. So really just channeling the teachings of typically a being that maybe has not walked the earth.
Kind of like Ramtha or Seth speaks,
yes,
like that, or Lazarus or something like that. Material that's out there,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, angels,
yes, okay,
often, channeling, you know, what the angels have to say and to pass on and share. That doesn't mean that, you know, Mother Mary can't be channeled or Jesus or, you know, others that have walked the earth.
Right.
But typically mediumship is more about the actual departed loved one that's a family member or a friend or someone that you really care about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how is it work similar for you?
Yeah. So
does that resonate as far as what mediumship, does that feel like that?
Yeah. So for mediumship for me is I typically wouldn't go into a reading saying, I wouldn't accept something like, I need to hear from my departed loved one. I would go into it as a tarot reading, looking at the person and their energy and finding out what they want to know. And it depends on if I get information or not. But if I do feel information from someone who has crossed over, it comes in so strong, sometimes zaps my whole body. Wow. And I get an emotional reaction and I can feel it. And I'll tell them everything that comes into my head, the words that they need to hear. And usually the manner in which I'm speaking resonates with them very well and they understand it. And then it just kind of goes, you know, I ask it to go. It's like a powerful feeling for me. So I can't really hold it very long.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, just like with me, it always starts with me looking at the cards and then getting the information that way. They're like my little bridge to whatever happens.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I know I admire you because you can tune in right away. And I don't know. It's just a little different for me. I have to see if it's open or available or if it comes through.
Well, and practice makes a big difference. You know, it just really does help so much. Practicing. And, you know, I know one thing I wanted to bring up was, so when I go into the grocery store and I can see, you know, departed loved ones behind people, like the guy at the meat counter, right?
Oh, like, that's so funny.
I was at the meat counter at a grocery store and I was getting some meat and
pound of salami.
Right. The guy was getting it for me and I see behind him like a spirit that is jumping up and down and waving me down. And motioning, like, tell him. And I just received, like, this is his uncle. Like, that was the message I received. Like, his uncle had passed on and wanted him to know, you know, he's there to help him. But I did not let the guy at the meat counter know, partly because I think you have to be available emotionally to receive information. And if you are asking for the information, that is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to just have someone come up and that is where that's a boundary for me and, an ethic about, you don't just go up just because you can.
Yeah.
You don't go up and share information with people.
No, that is such a good point. That's such a good point because I know some readers that do that. To you,
mm-hmm.
They'll walk up, like, for example, in a metaphysical bookstore and they have a featured reader sitting out, you know, you can walk up and get a free 5-minute reading or something. I've been approached before and I've been told things that, you know, I was working on, but I wasn't ready to hear all that. And, it can become offensive. So, that's a really good point. So as emerging psychics or psychics that we are, just be mindful that not everyone wants to hear everything all the time. And especially if you see spirits and they're waving you down, trying to get a message across, just because you see them doesn't mean you have to do it.
Like, yes.
We have to have boundaries and ethics and morals about this practice.
I love that.
I mean, we can't just hijack everyone else's spiritual awareness and learning, you know?
Well, and like, I find too, it feeds the ego. You know, I don't want to operate from ego.
Yeah.
It all comes from love and, you know, you can take it with a grain of salt. And, you know, what I did say, you know, in my heart space to the uncle jumping up and down, like, if you want to get a message to him, then, you know, let him contact me or, you know, and rather than, you know, it's like, then find a way, you find a way, but it's very exciting in the beginning when you are tapping into these abilities, you know, you want to share them with everybody.
Yeah, you really
do. We talked about, you know, just because you have a really great recipe and you know how to bake a great batch of cookies doesn't mean you're going to walk up to strangers and just start passing them out.
Yeah, here, eat my cookie.
Right?
This is the best recipe.
Some strangers may like it, others not so much.
Right.
And there's a level of vulnerability that I like to make space for with my client.
Yeah.
So.
And it has so much more meaning when they're coming to you and asking and they're ready to hear it and they want answers. And, you know, there's so much to be said in that willingness. There's a commitment to accelerate their spiritual growth and understand what's going on and feel the relief they receive if they receive that, you know? So it's,
yeah, it's like, yeah, they are doing their part of fulfilling the contract.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And if we're constantly doing the work for other people.
Right. We can't, yeah, do the work for anyone.
Oh my God. The last thing I want to be is like a codependent medium.
Right. That's hilarious. No, I know. Okay. So I want to ask you a question. So, I'll preface it with my issue is, when I'm in public and stuff, I get overwhelmed by people, like looking at them or just seeing them, or you know how you can look at someone and you just get all this energy and you know, mm-hmm, like right where they are, mm-hmm, in their heads with their emotions and everything or their pain. I feel that so much. And I wear sunglasses because it helps cut that for me. And I was wondering what you do to protect yourself when you go out and if you have that issue.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I always wear a little beanie hat to keep the porthole closed. And it kind of says,
crown,
you
chakra.
Know, yeah. It's like shop is closed.
Oh my God.
That is really important. Uh-huh. Yes. That is really important because what I found when I didn't understand how to manage these, you know, new gifts was, you know, I would try to make a buffer between myself and other people with weight. So I would, you know, I was just eating cookies and eating. Yeah. I was just, I had this weight and, or, you know, a lot of clothing. You know,
oh, yeah,
just like, uh-huh, a shirt and then a long sleeve shirt and then a big fat
so
sweater.
No one can get through.
Yeah. Yes.
I've done that like most of my life, wear, yeah, layers and layers and layers.
So I have to just be, you know, where I go, I have to be really careful of, you know, definitely like secondhand stores, antique stores, thrift stores, and
oh my
then
God,
really busy places.
Okay, wait, tell the story. This is relative. Tell the story about the thrift store.
Oh, the clothing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going through. So when in a thrift store, if I'm moving the clothes on the rack, I do it with as like just two fingers pinching the tip of the hanger to slide it along. So I'm not touching or picking up on too much energy. But there were three shirts identical in a row. And I pushed one over and then I pushed the second one over. And when I was pushing the third one over, it was like loud and clear. This angry woman was like, I always hated that job. And I was like,
what you don't know is she had a censored swear word in there. Started with an F.
Whoa. Yeah, this lady was mad. And it was like, you know, it was a work shirt for some, you know, where people have to wear a polo
with a
shirt.
Logo.
Yeah, with a logo. And that was pretty intense. And so I just have to be, you know, I try to move quickly. But in crowded places, it's, mm-hmm, it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because it's so full. It's
energy.
Just so full of energy. Yeah. And, you know, if every person has 5 to 6 people around them,
yeah,
coming through, that, you know, is such a beautiful thing. It makes for a very crowded room.
Yeah, because we all have guides.
Yes.
We just don't know it or see them all the time. We might not be tuned in. But yeah, so, you know.
I don't even hand out business cards. You know, the way I operate is just word of mouth.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
I used to have some, and then, I don't know, it can really take a lot out of you to read all the time, so I just stopped for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I just completely stopped. Yeah, because I think there's a point where you're like, what am I doing? Like, am I helping people or not helping people? You know?
Yeah.
It's a definite journey, you know?
And, well, and I feel it's such a buzz in my body. It's like, uh-huh, such a, you know, like a high energy buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be careful that I'm not just doing it for the high.
I know that totally
because
happens.
I do. I would and I would. And so knowing that,
our
so when
little drag.
when I book an appointment for, mm-hmm, someone, for either. So typically it'll be either intuitive advice where I work with my clients' guides to receive information, or the appointment could be mediumship where, you know, they want to connect with someone that has crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
I only book the appointment. It's either 1 hour or an hour and a half. It mm-hmm. definitely can't be longer than that.
Yeah.
Because the concentration that mm-hmm. it takes mm-hmm. to stay focused on the information that's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear it, it's about 132 beats a minute.
Oh my God.
You know, we talked about like, it's like a Nicki Minaj song for an hour or an hour and a half, and just so much information.
Oh my gosh.
And when my client sits down in front of me, I'll say, well, what brings you here today? Uh-huh. And as soon as they start talking, I'm writing down on a piece of paper information that's already coming through. It's super easy. That's mm-hmm. the way that I receive information is when they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Information will just start coming through, and then I'm shown the little video clips of like my client when she is 8 years old standing on a stool making snickerdoodles with her grandmother.
Aww.
And I say, you know, I'm smelling cinnamon and sugar, and you know, and I see you on a stool and you're doing this, and mm-hmm. it's
Aww.
So I can That's smell so cool. what's going on. You know, violets, lilacs, roses are typically, you know, your grandma's here. And then clean laundry, and cinnamon and sugar. There's mm-hmm. like some real kind of standard aromas that will come through. And then sometimes there's regional ones where I've done a reading for, an Indian woman, and it smelled like curry and onions.
Oh my God.
And it was really something.
Oh, that's incredible.
And she showed me how her grandma was helping her with rice and making, it's lovely. It's very lovely. Information comes through and I take notes. I always, they say, you know, can I record it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a really good idea.
And when,
because it means so many things other times as you listen to it in the future.
Oh,
you just pick out, you think you hear it all.
Oh yeah.
And you pick out the big things and walk away. And then later when you replay it or look at your notes, you pick out everything else. It's like watching a movie for the second time.
Yes.
You see brand new details. Yeah.
You know, I tell my clients, seeds are being planted today, and I don't know when they're going to sprout. I don't know when they're going to come to fruition and bloom in your garden. You know, maybe sometimes memories. Like I've had readings, and they're like, no, that's not it. That's not it.
I've had those.
You know, and when you start to second guess yourself and...
You can't do that, though.
Yeah. I just say,
hey,
this
everyone,
is what's
psychics
coming through.
Out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't ever second guess yourself when you're in the face of adversity like that and you're giving a reading and someone says no, no, no. Just continue to share what you see, because that's your truth. You can't unsee or unhear or unfeel or unknow what you feel. So, just don't ever get derailed by that. But like, okay, so for beginners out there, if we were going to go give someone a task on how to start, how to give it a try, what would we tell them how to start communicating
by
with someone who has passed? Yeah.
By getting grounded.
Okay.
Sitting in a chair,
mm-hmm.
having both feet on the floor,
mm-hmm.
not having any substances in the body
mm-hmm.
to be as clear channel as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
I often suggest, you know, have a light amount of food in your stomach, but not to be weighed down.
Mm-hmm.
With a heavy
point.
Meal that's to keep point. That energy level really light.
Yeah.
And to be open-minded. You can call on your guides and say, I am asking for you to be willing and able to assist.
Mm-hmm.
have the notepad.
Yeah.
With pen.
Yes. And be ready to write down anything that comes into your head and ask all the questions you have.
Yes. And then write down the answers that you hear.
Yeah. And trust them. I did want to mention, if you are in some kind of pain or suffering due to the loss of a loved one or someone who's crossed over recently, and you're in so much turmoil and pain, it might be more difficult to get through to someone, or just getting grounded, because it's, you really have to be able to put all your human emotions aside and clear yourself of any kind of emotional clutter in order to hear messages coming through. And that's difficult to do. But if you do it, it's a very good practice to help heal yourself too and step away from the situation you're in, you know?
Yeah.
Because most people, I think, are really suffering who want to get through and get the answers of what happened, you know, are you okay? And did you suffer?
Well, and also try, so I worked with a group of moms whose children committed suicide. And so many have the same questions. You know, basically, was it really suicide or was it an accident?
Yeah.
You know, what is the story that I'm telling myself accurate? And I always felt like it was such a, it was such a gift to get to relieve the burden of guilt, of shame around the story of their child's life ending. I mean, it's traumatic and the most horrific thing, no matter the circumstances.
Right.
But then to add, you know, that it was intentional, or, and many times I've been able to change the story.
Wow.
And it's like, no, it didn't look that way. I know the police told you this one report. I know that they said it was like this. And then that was the story. And
through mediumship, you can talk to them and find out and get the message across.
And then the mom said, well, the mom would say, like, I don't believe you. How would I believe you? Like, they've hung on to the story so long. And then and it's like, well, he's showing me that in his fourth grade picture, he's wearing a brown and white striped shirt and his hair
to prove
is weird.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, my gosh.
Not necessarily to prove it, but more to just like, mom, really.
Yeah, this is the truth.
This is the truth. And I can, you know, that one, I can look you in the eye now. You know, they pass on a message. They can pass on a message to give such relief and change the trajectory of how you operate and move forward in your life.
Oh, can you imagine? I know. Julie and I were talking about something before we started today. It's kind of a heavy day, I think, in the world for everyone with the riots going on and the injustice that happened, with the police and George Floyd. And, it's just affecting everyone, and we are deeply saddened by this. Anyway, so, we were reflecting on how you can live your whole life thinking one existence that you've had and find out some new information that just shifts you and puts you on a different trajectory, like you were saying. And I recently had a shift like that, and I'm trying to cope. And it's just very interesting. And I am seeking some answers through mediumship. And I've been preparing to ask some questions about that. But we just want to say that, you know, we're all here on the planet trying to get along and be in the same brights as everyone else. We all deserve to live and to be happy and to love each other. And
yeah, I mean, it's so, it's not just George Floyd, and it didn't just happen. It keeps happening.
It keeps happening.
It's been happening.
It's just so awful.
Back and name after name after name, you know, and I was thinking that about making altars, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I think part of that, that Angelina and I paused and meditated before this reading when we were grounding and really just sending a lot of loving light to those that are hurting and in turmoil and feel powerless and want to do more than just post a black square on their Instagram. You know, it's we're seeking leadership and I was, yeah, we're not going to get into all the political parts, but we, right. We're there with you listeners and we feel strongly and we feel the same and a horrific, horrific act happened. Mm-hmm. And we were witness to it. And
I keep thinking, you know, I keep thinking that day there was no clue to the trajectory of his life that day.
Yeah.
He was on a great path doing what he was doing. And who knew, you know? And it's just like, I feel like what we talked about earlier and at any rate, I just feel like if there is a shift toward everyone uncovering the smallest amount of psychic activity and using it just to be compassionate and love one another in any way we can, then we really need to tune in to each other.
And our heart space.
Yeah.
With open love. It up. Absolutely. Right.
And if we're in too much pain to do it consciously out and about every day, every moment, then we can sit alone and meditate and do it. And there's ways to put that love out there. And I think the more love we get out there in a consciousness, the more we connect like little bubbles, little dish soap bubbles in the dish bowl. We go bloop, bloop, bloop till we all connect. And then we have a beautiful consciousness.
Yes, we do. Well, I think the other part that I wanted to share at the end of that was a couple of things. So at the end of the reading, at the end of a reading, I thank my divine support team, whomever came through to assist. And I also say, I take back the energy that belongs to me. Mm-hmm. And I give, and whoever my client's name is.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say like at the end of the, if I was doing a reading with you, Angelina, yeah. I'll just say, thank you to my divine support team, for those whomever, you know, came through to assist. And I also take back my energy that belongs to me. And I give Angelina's energy back to her.
Oh, that's very good.
To have this real kind of clear cord cutting.
Closing out.
Yep,
yep.
We're closing it out.
Close it out.
Yeah. And then, you know, some of the ethics of readings. I was saying that the number one ethic I follow is, you know, do not make up information. If your client has a question and you don't have an answer to it,
So you don't have an answer. Yep.
You know,
if you don't have an answer, just say, I'm sorry if I wasted your time. I don't have anything. I can't see anything. I don't know anything.
Sometimes it's...
I've done that.
your only responsibility is to share what is coming through.
Right.
And it will come through to the point where it will, you know, with some people, it'll bombard you. And other people, it won't.
Right.
And maybe they're not ready to hear it. And remind, I like to remind the client that the information is not coming from me, but through me.
Right. Really.
I do not take responsibility for that. And I give credit where credit is due to always ensure humility. And that's it.
Right on. Okay.
We got it. Part one done.
Part one. And we have a surprise in part two for you. Send us any mediumship questions you have at allthingspsychicpodcast@gmail.com, and we will do a mediumship reading for you.
Send it in. Bye-bye.